Morning, everyone. Our reading is from Hosea chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Dilam, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show them love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sands on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called sons of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will be appointed one leader, and will come up out of the land. For great will be the day of Jezreel. Say of your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one."
Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word and start this new series, we ask that you would give us understanding to show us more of yourself, to show us where we fall short and how much we need your grace every day. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, the prophet Hosea, that is what we're looking at for the next four Sundays. It is a shocking story of amazing love. Now, some of what you hear will be shocking, as we've already heard just then. But as shocking as it might be, God's love is greater. That's what we're going to see. Before we get into it, though, I want to start in Romans 8, which for many people is a favourite chapter of theirs. Romans 8, we read there some of the most reassuring words for the Christian. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Let me read Romans 8 from verse 38. Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, God is our God. We are his people. And there is nothing that can separate us from his love. They are fantastic words, aren't they? Did you know that we are his bride? The church, God's people, we are his bride, the bride of Christ. This is how much God loves us, that we are his people. He is our God, and we look forward to the wedding. The wedding to come, that ultimate wedding that we can read about in Revelation 19. We look forward to that picture in Revelation 21, where God is there dwelling with his people. And as Phil just led us in prayer, where there'll be no suffering, no sickness, no sorrow. We will be his people. God will be our God. We will be there together. This is who we are. We are his people, all because of Christ, Nothing that what we've done, all because of Christ, and nothing can separate us from his love. That's thinking about us and where we are and what we look forward to. Let's come back to Hosea. Some 800 years before God sent Jesus into this world, God's people are Israel, and they are a divided people. You got the northern kingdom, Israel. You got the southern kingdom, Judah. God is their God. They are his people, despite their unfaithfulness and the split in the kingdom. Verse 1 of Hosea names the kings at the time. So that tells us that we're in the 8th century BC. And it is a time of prosperity, of security, of comfort, which all sounds good, isn't it? We want these things. We like the sound of being prosperous, secure, comfortable. We want these things. We have these things. But for them, with their growing wealth, came a growing complacency towards God. As they became more and more self-sufficient, they became less and less reliant on God. As they sipped more and more hot lattes, they slipped. Their hearts became colder and colder towards God. And so in the eyes of the world, they might have been better off, but they became more and more indifferent to their Lord God. This is a picture not unlike Sydney today. This is the context that the word of the Lord comes to Hosea. God has a word for his people. Are you ready to hear it? It is a little bit shocking. It's revealing, but it is also amazing. The word of the Lord to Hosea: go marry an adulterous wife. You'd do a double take, wouldn't you? Yeah, Hosea. Sorry, God. Did you just say, go marry an adulterous wife? No, you mean go find yourself. Go marry a young, beautiful virgin from Bethel. That's what you said, isn't it? But no, Hosea heard right. You might have an ESV in front of you. The ESV reads like this: go take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. I told you this was shocking. Maybe not what you'd expect to hear on a Sunday morning in church. But this is in the Bible. This is the word of God. This is what God says to his prophet Hosea. It does rattle us a little bit, doesn't it? And it's because Israel and what they've done, they have been unfaithful to God. And so God has this message for them. Now, I'm sure you don't want to be unfaithful in your marriage. I'm sure you don't want your spouse to be unfaithful to you. How much more when it comes to God? And so the prophet Hosea, he's going to show this to the people in a shocking way, but maybe to awaken them to how they're treating the Lord their God. So his marriage to this woman, it's going to be a real life illustration of the relationship between God and his people. I'm sure Hosea never expected this as a prophet. I mean, what other prophet has God told to do something like this? What other prophet? You know, you imagine Hosea as a young man, a young godly man. Probably all he wanted to do was to marry a young godly woman, to set up a home with her, to have kids, and to raise those kids in the love and the knowledge of God. But then God tells him this. Now some take it to be just a vision, a metaphor, that it didn't really happen, that God wouldn't really get someone to do this. But that's not how I read it. Yes, this is shocking, but it is shocking for a purpose. For, quite frankly, God is a jealous God. He's a God who loves his people. And he can't just sit back and watch and let his people flaunt themselves to other gods. He loves them. And so when they do this, it tears him apart. And so if this is what it takes for him to get his message across to them, to shock them, then this is what he does. And remarkably, Hosea obeys. He obeys the Lord. Now, what the people have failed to do, he does. So verse 3, he marries Gomer. She conceives and bears him a son. And the rest of the chapter is about the three children that Gomer bears. Now, the first belongs to Hosea, but it seems the next two do not. So three children. You've got Jezreel, Lo-Ruhamah, and Lo-Ammi. Now, they're not names I hear today. Having a baby sometime soon. Probably not going to name him one of these. Look at the most popular names for babies. Look for 2014. None of these names are there. I don't think any of them are going to be on the list for 2015 either. And there's good reason for that. When you look at these names and you look at what they mean. So firstly, Jezreel. Jezreel can mean God will sow. But have a look at verse 4. Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. So what God is going to sow here, it's judgment. Second child is Lo-Ruhamah. Now why? Verse 6, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. And this isn't good. They are his people. He's no longer going to show love to them. You think of this girl growing up, this poor girl, with a name that means not loved. That is her name. She's going to grow up with that name, but it serves as God's message to Israel. Not loved. And child number 3 is no better. Lo-Ammi, a boy. And his name means not my people. Verse 8, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. This is terrible. For God to say this about his people, that he says, now you are not my people. They were God's people, going right back to Abraham. God chose Abraham so that he could make a people for himself, a people that would be his. Israel, they are that people. And now for God to say, you are not my people, and I am not your God, this is tragic. What is this going to mean for all of God's promises? for the blessing that is to come to all people through Abraham, the promises to him. And how's Hosea going to be feeling at this moment as his wife goes off and does these things, for her to go and sleep with other men and bear children to them? Now that is enough to end the relationship, isn't it? For him just to walk away, for that is what she has done. But the point of this real life, in your face illustration, Gomer is Israel. Gomer is a picture of Israel. Israel has been unfaithful to the Lord her God. So what is God going to do? Now that is what we're going to see. But you would have noticed as Tyson read that there is a glimmer of hope here in this chapter. Have a look at verse 7. Have a look at verses 10 and 11. There is hope here. That's chapter 1. Before we see what comes of Hosea and Gomer, we're going to pause and consider chapter 2. And here in chapter 2, that the focus is just on the relationship between God and his people, Israel. And I warn you, it is full on. It doesn't get any lighter at this point. It is full on. So from verse 2, the word of the Lord to Hosea. Rebuke your mother. Your mother there is a way of talking about Israel. Rebuke your mother. Rebuke Israel. Rebuke her, for she's not my wife, and I'm not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children, because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal. And God is not happy. It's an understatement. His people who he has loved so much, who he has provided for, who he has promised great things for. He's given them the land. He's been so good to his people, and yet they have been unfaithful to him. So this is horrific, what God says, but it is deserved for the way his people have treated him. But then it takes a turn. Because you can sense God's heartache in this. Because they are his people. And he does love them. And his is a love that does not go away. And he is faithful. So the word of the Lord to Hosea from verse 14. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and I'll make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land. so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. Verse 23. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. God is going to get her back. They are his people. God is going to get her back. She belongs to him. So he is going to get her back. Now, if this was MasterChef, as I was reading those verses, the music would have changed. And over the top, it would have picked up and been all high and positive. Like MasterChef, where you know, well, the winning dish. Right? It has changed here. God is going after his people, Israel. He is going to get her back. Because of his love, because of his commitment to his people. This is our God. This is a love that does not go away. And as we jump forward, what he's talking about here, this is us. We are this people that he is talking about here. We have become his people through Christ. And so Hosea, he is to go and get his wife back. Yes, that is what Hosea is now to do. He is to go and get Gomer back. Why? Because she is his wife. Despite her unfaithfulness, despite everything that she's done, he is to love her like the Lord loves the Israelites. Have a look. Chapter 3, verse 1. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. I'm not sure what those sacred raisin cakes are, but they sound good. And they're probably all caught up with the worship of the other gods and part of the feasting and everything that was involved there. This is crazy, isn't it? Hosea, he's to go and get Gomer back. That is what God calls him to do. God says, keep loving her. God says, I don't care what she's done. You keep loving her. You go get her back. Men, how would you go if you were Hosea? If this was your wife, how would you go? Are you going to keep loving her? God says, I don't care what she's done. You keep loving her. You go and get her back. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. And can you see where this is going? What does Paul say about this? If we jump forward 800 plus years. Men, what does Paul say to you? Husbands, love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. Men, this is the love that you are to have to your wife. A love that won't go away. Well, back to Hosea. He's got to find her. Where is she? Where is she? Probably in places he doesn't want to know. Places that he doesn't go. Streets where men of God should not be seen and should not go. But Hosea obeys the Lord. He goes and he finds. Now, you won't find this next bit in your Bible, but let me try to paint the picture a little bit for you. He walks into this dark, dimly lit room, up some stairs, And it's not the first place like this that he's walked into. And there are women are being paraded about. And it is in this place, up these stairs, that he sees Gomer. He does not want to be in this place. This is the last place that he wants to be. But he hears those words ringing in his head, what God has said. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. So he's not walking away. He's come to get her back. So there he sees Gomer. He sees his wife. So he looks up, maybe up the fishnets. I don't know if he can look her in the eye. But he says, Gomer, let's go. But he's told by some man that it will cost him. He blurts out, but she's my wife. He says, I don't care who you think she is. She will cost you. But she's my wife. I've come to get her back. That's fine, but it will cost you. Okay, what's the price? How much? And he's given the answer, 15 shekels of silver, 10 bushels of barley. So he pays. He hands over these things. He pays for what is already his. He buys her back. He says to her, verse 3 of chapter 3, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. She will be his. He will be hers. This is amazing love. Crazy love, you might say. Hosea is a picture of Jesus. Jesus comes to find us. To get us back. We have been unfaithful. We are Gomer. He comes to get us back and it costs him. It costs him dearly. What's the price? How much? Jesus is told your life, your blood. And he pays. He gives his life there on the cross, the blood of Jesus, the blood of his son. That is what it costs God to buy back what is his. This is love. This is the love of God for you. And he's done it for us when we were not his people. When we were sinners, when we were enemies. He has done this for us when we were not his people. But now we are. Now we are part of his people. Now we are his bride. If you are trusting in Jesus. We are his people. We've been bought with the blood of his son. So you belong to him. God has purchased you by the blood of his own son. And so now we belong to him. We are his. We are his people. And he is our God. He wants every bit of us. He wants every bit of us to worship him. And nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God. Will you pray with me? Oh, Father, this is love, that you would search us out and find us so that we could be yours. We are forgiven by the blood of your Son. So that we could be yours and yours alone. Father, we We just stop and marvel in that you are our God. We are your people. And what a privilege that is. Help us to know your love, to know it every day, to marvel in it. And Father, help us to give ourselves to you and to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.